Hello, I'm Rita Hyland, and you're about to discover what it means to position your business, career, and life to play full out. This show explores the way leaders just like you embrace and achieve their ambition without working harder or grinding it out any longer. So if you want to take your life, business, or career to a playing full out status and do so while being the happiest high performer in the room, then hang with me because this show shares everything you need to know using the best of neuroscience, transformational psychology, and a bit of spiritual wisdom to help you change fast, even when it's uncomfortable or scary, or you failed to do so in the past. All this so that you can enjoy more freedom and prosperity in your business and life. I'm happy you're here.
Hey there, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Playing Full Out podcast. It's been inspired by a listener of ours in Texas who has the question, how in the middle of our robust and complex lives do we always stay motivated as entrepreneurs and as leaders of teams or managers and bosses and parents when life is tricky? And sometimes we don't feel like doing the work we know we're called to or that our business relies upon us to do. How do we stay motivated in these moments when we just don't feel like it? This question is such a good one because we all have times when we lose our motivation. We lose track of the reason that we're doing what we're doing and we're not feeling it. And that is fair. We're not meant always to be in our peak zone. I think at this time of life, in this society, we have come to a point where we are pushing and we are hurrying, and the lines between personal life and professional life have never before been more blurred. And it is complex. It is messy in the middle. If you get people who have older generations of family members they're caring for, as well as younger ones, they have their own work worlds, their own personal lives. How do we do it all? And how do we fit it all in so that we can be successful, but also maintain our own personal well-being and rise back up when we have moments of struggle or we get out of the flow? Fabulous question. Thank you, Texas. Today, I'm going to give you some mindset shifts along with some practical actions and techniques to return to your flow, even in those moments where you're just not feeling it, or it may have been some time since you've been in it. Those moments, they could be little blips, or they can be ones that maybe have been lasting a week, a month, or maybe more. The first thing is that we have to allow ourselves to be imperfect. We have to allow ourselves to have those moments where we're not feeling the feeling. What would it look like today to accept that your best day today isn't the same as your best day every other day? That we aren't always at the same highest levels. I mean, we wouldn't know the darkness if there wasn't the sun, and vice versa. We wouldn't know what our peak zones are if we didn't have an alternative moment. Our biggest challenge that I see is we have this resistance to imperfection. And too often that is costing us to stay unmotivated because we get lost in comparison and in self-attack because we have these high expectations and these high standards of ourselves, oftentimes imperfect. As we know, imperfection is addiction to dissatisfaction. And we have a choice in that. Imperfection is not possible. So sometimes that whole part of on a day where we're not feeling motivated is to embrace the messiness of it as opposed to judge it or ourselves because of it. What I determined a long time ago when I used to be able to go and work till midnight and accomplish a lot and be exceedingly efficient with my time, I've learned that it's a different day. It's a different season. We have families now. We have spouses and we have extended family and friends. And life isn't always that direct of a path. One of the things that we must do is not underestimate the small things, those small actions that compound. I know when I had kids, like I said, I started to resist and fight life. I used to suffer because I was fighting the reality that there was going to be a call for me or an interruption in my day. And it would leave me feeling irritable and angry and resentful at myself and others because I wasn't feeling or able to get into the flow. What I didn't realize then and what I started to learn is that I could accept it and work with it as opposed to spending the rest of my life fighting what was real. The way that I did it is I started to embrace the law of the slight edge, which is that those small things that have a compound effect. We see people who climb mountains and we think that they did it, you know, in a week. Those who've climbed mountains have failed many times and they've taken a lot of steps over and over again to train to get to that point. It's very easy, especially in this world of social media and where our global community is so easy to be seen, for us to make up stories about other people. And especially when oftentimes they're telling a story. Remember that there is nobody like you. There is nobody that has your exact story. And to compare yourself is, again, simply to be addicted to dissatisfaction and making sure that you're going to stay out of your flow even longer. Celebrate yourself in the moment. Embrace the fact that you love yourself even in the imperfection, that you acknowledge yourself even in the imperfection. And don't underestimate that even though you can't do everything, that you can do something. You can do some small action. And one of the best practical steps is to say, what's the smallest thing that I can do right now that will plant a seed or leverage something for myself today? The very, very smallest. It can be pulling a file. It can be opening a paper. It can be opening a book. It doesn't matter. You need to slow down, tune in, listen, and identify what it is, that smallest action that I can take. When we know the 20%, the vital few things that we do that lead to 80% of our results, to be able to support you in doing that. But when we know those, I'll actually put that in the show notes because it is another podcast. When we're aware of the few things that we do, we recognize that we're always, even though the lists seem long and the progress seems slow, we're able to take just the next step, right? One of the things we could do a better job of is to train ourselves to hold the space for life's curveballs. To do that, leave more space. Don't set ourselves up to ever expect that life isn't meaty and messy in the middle, right? Don't allow ourselves to constantly be set up for failure. How do we set ourselves up to succeed? Where do we leave support? Where do we leave room to get support? Which leads me to another point. Consume support. Use personal development to upgrade your life. Use in these moments an expert or a friend or whatever, paid or not. I recently had a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I was really getting hijacked by something and some feelings that were coming up about a big change. And I thought to myself, okay, I need some support to process this, to get myself out of it. And I, you know, have a team of trusted advisors that I use in different capacities at different times, but I always have my team to go back to help me process things in life when they come up, so that when I have a day where I'm like, okay, I'm off, this doesn't feel good, I know who my team of trusted advisors is, right? Like I said, it can be one friend that supports you or holds you accountable. It can be a therapist, a coach, a connection, a community of people. But whatever that is for you, have that. We cannot do it alone. I can't underestimate enough our role and the importance of us validating our feelings as opposed to shooting on ourselves and say we shouldn't be feeling that we're unmotivated today. That's the worst thing that we can do. Your feelings are messengers. They're there to tell you something. They're there to guide you in a new direction. So instead of telling yourself this shouldn't be happening and all the reasons that this is inefficient and wrong and where you else you should be, turn it around embrace it, and write down even, journal, this is how I'm feeling. And be kind to that part of yourself that's feeling those feelings. What that does is it allows you to metabolize and process the feelings as opposed to having them hijack you again tomorrow, right? Or lead you to feeling still unmotivated tomorrow. What we haven't said here, and what's really important, is that we have to remember that our target is our purpose. Too often we get consumed with our lists and what we ought to get done. Understand that your list will never get done. If it's done, you're dead. So again, shift your perception, shift your mindset, shift your definition of a list of things to do. Embrace that it gives you opportunity, possibility, and meaning. It's all how you define what that means. If there's a list, are you saying that you're not enough? If there's more to do or you haven't responded, does that mean that you are inadequate? Be specific with and notice the stories that you tell yourself. Probably one of the most important things that I do and those that I work with do is that they are very protective of their state. They protect their peace, knowing that when they're in this highest frequency of peace, that they always perform at the highest level. What this means is that they operate from the thought and the belief that when they do what's best for themselves, it's always best for another. Even if that means people might be slightly uncomfortable in the moment, they come back and every moment they ask themselves, what is it that if nothing was to change in my circumstances, what is it that I need in order to be at peace in this moment? That is a gift that we give to ourselves. That is self-care. That is how we maintain and successful entrepreneurs and masterful teachers, as well as really impactful leaders. That's how they do it. They are making sure that they are in their peak zone in mind, body, and spirit. They conduct themselves with sometimes just very few mindset practices, very few rituals. And this is something that I do, especially when I'm off my game, is that I return to those 5 to 7 small rituals every morning, sort of like the book, and I'm forgetting the military officer who wrote Make Your Bed. So if you do those 5 to 7 things, for me, it's drinking 1 liter of water before 8 a.m. It's 5 minutes of doing my mindset management practice, which is 5 simple questions. It's making sure I've taken my supplements, that I have exercised for 30 to 60 minutes. Those are the types of things. If I can check all those off, no matter what, I know that I am preparing myself, regardless of what I accomplished in that day, I've already succeeded, right? Have those 5 to 7 things. They're simple enough that they tell and send a message to your mind that I've already succeeded before I've even started the day. What I know base level is when we aren't feeling it, wherever that it is one of the best things we can do, even if that enters as strong as depression, is to give a random act of kindness. In my case, I might think of the book I'm reading and send a copy to someone I think would enjoy it. It can be an article. I got a note from someone I sent a book to today, and she was just so excited. It was my kid's school counselor, and that brought me joy. Giving and receiving are the same very high frequency. So what happens there is, like, really think of, if I'm feeling off my game, how can I make someone else's life better? It helps us to get out of our own head, and we know instantly then that we are making a difference, that we are making an impact. And at the end of the day, the thing that matters more than anything else, and this is a universal desire, is that we make a difference, that we matter. And you can matter instantly and immediately today by identifying something that you're giving and something that you're open to receiving. My final word is to make sure that you stay in the game, to finish what you started. There is only one you. There is a reason for what you're doing. Make your purpose your target. Don't stop. We all have moments where we need to rest, and rest if you must, but don't quit, right? Even warriors know that they have to pause before they begin another cycle. Give yourself permission to move with the flow and to embrace some of these practices. Making small habits can make really big changes. And know that just a few tasks can make a really big difference. So ask yourself, what's the smallest thing that I can do today to make whatever difference or progress or impact I want to make? And start making those small improvements right away to put some small positive habits in place that will upgrade your business and life. The world desperately needs what you have to give at this time. A half version of you is not enough. Make sure to continue in these moments to enjoy inspiration and self-improvement and self-awareness. When you expand you, you expand your business, your community, and your family all benefit. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being you and being a bright light and leader in this world. I look forward to our next time.
Thank you for being with me today. By you listening to this, it tells me you're interested in growing yourself, and likely not just for yourself, but to positively influence others as well. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and share this with your friends and colleagues. When leaders like you grow yourself and then grow others, we all are positively impacted. If you have questions, I'm here to answer them, and may even use them in our upcoming podcasts. Go ahead. You can send those questions to breakthrough@ritahyland.com. Remember, a half version of you is not enough. The world needs the full version of you at play. I look forward to seeing you on our next podcast.